Good morning. Time for the farm show here at the Shank of the Day on Wax 104.5. As Jill and Krista and myself, Bob Bosol, bring you the news in agriculture around the area, around Wisconsin, around the nation, and around the world as part of the Midwest Farm Report family. We've got markets, 13 First Alert weather. We'll look at all kinds of calendar items and what's going on in the world of agriculture. Again, it's time for the Farm Show on Wax 104.5. Rain is on the way, and so is the wind, although the wind's been here for quite a while. Bob and Jill with you this morning, taking a look at the news in agriculture on this Tuesday morning. What is it, 16th of April? So we're moving forward halfway through April now. And boy, I'll tell you, it's been good weather. Going to get better with some rain. Hopefully it's nice rain. Oh, by the way, it's going to be windy again. You haven't felt that in a while, have you? Boy, it's been windy and breezy forever, it seems like. But we'll tell you more about the weather as we go along. We're following it right now. It's rain is still out west of Minnesota, west of Rochester, west of the Twin Cities, west of St. Cloud, but it's moving in. Supposed to be anyway. Hopefully it will get here and we'll get some more. Get an update on bird flu. Cranberries, the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers have a new executive director, or will have soon after Tom Lochner's been in that 35 years. Tom was with the years and years and years ago, it seems like now. Tom was with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, then he moved over to the Cranberry Growers and has been doing a great job with the Cranberry Growers for all those years, but he's about ready to retire, so he's stepping aside. And also coming up, Jill, horse people, get excited this weekend.
Midwest Horse Fairs in Madison at the Alliant Energy Center, starting on Friday and running all the way through Sunday.
I didn't realize that's the biggest three-day horse fair in the country. And I know Minnesota has their Horse Expo, which will be in a week or two. But this weekend, it's the Midwest Horse Fair down in Madison. Lots of things will be going on down there, including the Meyer family from over in Loyal. If you're down there, they Chris and Randy and, they take a crew, because when you're hooking up 10 horses, you've got to have a crew. But they'll be down there with their 10-horse hitch. They'll be doing the pyramid hitch, showing off in the arena. I don't know how they can get those 10 horses in that gate at the one end of the Coliseum. Boy, I'll tell you, you got to be a good driver to do that, because, boy, I'll tell you, if I was on the lines, I'd wreck them.
That's why they have to take their crew. It's all a matter of working all together, I would imagine.
That's for sure. But you got to have some talent. You got to have some strong hands and wrists, too. So, again, the Meyer family and the Pyramid Hitch will be at the Midwest Horse Fair this weekend, and a lot of other folks will be down there, too. And I'll be down there later on. I'd like to get down there and see what's going on. They got some interest. CBD for horses. I didn't know about this. You know, that I don't know how much THC is in this stuff, but then what it's used for a horse, I don't know if it's to calm a horse down or make them prance a little bit better. I don't know.
Probably to calm them down.
Yeah, I don't know what they do with CBD for a horse, but we'll find out. I've never fed a horse CBD, but a lot of people do, evidently. And, of course, there's other things going on down. The one thing I like to watch are the blacksmiths. These are regular blacksmiths like in the old days. I mean, it's not just guys that come out and can, you know, trim your horse and nail a pair of shoes on. These guys actually make the shoes from a bar of steel or bar or whatever it is, iron, and put it in their forges, and they work hard. This is kind of like a step. They have a national championship, and the Midwest Horse Fair is one of their regionals. So you can qualify with points. And that's always, I always spend time over there watching those guys and gals. There are gals that do this too. And man, oh man, you dance with one of them and you don't want to make a wrong step, because they're strong. But it's fun. I mean, that watching the blacksmiths, it's really, really interesting to watch how they do it with their forges. And Eau Claire County Junior Fair, trying to upgrade that all the time. What's the latest on that?
Well, this is their 100th. Fair, so they've been at it for 100 years, and special events this year. We will be hearing from Meg Mueller on a bunch of this, because I do have an interview set up with her.
Good, yeah. Meg is, of course, our area veterinarian, and she's been in Eau Claire County with her family for...
Many hats.
I know it. She does. She is a busy young lady and does everything well, and she's very much involved. She's kind of the chief animal medical officer at the fair. Yep, she, and I don't actually, know what her title is.
That's another thing that we're going to visit about is what it takes to be that veterinarian for fairs. But at the Eau Claire County Fair in July, they're going to have music. It's Sage. They are a group from Osseo. They've been around for, oh my goodness, a long time. But some good older country music and some new
music that
they play. That is on Saturday night at the fair.
Okay.
And then they're having bull riding on Sunday afternoon. That's something new.
Oh, that'll be fun. So things going on. Fair season is not that far away.
Feeding information to the folks who feed you.
Markets on a Tuesday morning. And Jill, how'd the cash livestock trade to start the week?
Choice fed beef steers are 177 to 188 with
brought
mixed steers 152 to 176. Choice fed beef heifers are 178 to 186 with mixed heifers 138 to 177. Finished dairy cross steers and heifers are 150 to 185 with choice fed Holstein steers 158 to 169 and select and silage fed steers 117 to 157. Cows are 99 to 119 with a top of 141. Bulls are 117 to 151. And those calves, those 95 to 125 pound calves are $550 to $700. The 150 pound to 250 pound calves are $420 and down. And the beef calves, those quality beef calves, are $650 to $975 with the light, weak, and young calves $525 and down.
Well, I'll tell you, those beef calves not losing a lot of value.
No, they are not.
They've been hanging in there.
I thought maybe they would kind of be a little bit softer because I've heard of some out west herds that when the calf is born, the calf is going to market and the cow is going to market as well. So there's seems to be an awful lot of them out there.
Yeah, it's supply and demand. I don't know. There's not a big herd out there, but hearing more of that, beef supply is even that much more tight.
Yeah, and tasty, though.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure. All right, continuing with our look at the markets on the futures for cattle. They were higher yesterday, as you might expect, and hogs were mixed, mostly higher. April live cattle up $1.40 at the close at 180.30. June up 235 at 173.82. August live cattle 171.12 up 237. In October, $174 even. That's up 222. Feeder cattle for April up 195 at 239.55. May up 380, $238 a hundred. August 249.70 up 427. September up 407 at 251.02. And October up 377 at 251.67. Lean hog carcass contracts were mixed. Near months were higher. Out, they were a little lower. May hogs 94.32 up 45. June 102.45 up 37. July down a half a dollar at 103.75. And August down 67 at 101.57. On the Board of Trade yesterday, markets were a little bit lower. South America getting some rain, also a drop in soybean meal prices. Overnight, December corn down a fraction at 4.68. The oats at 3.46. December wheat up one at 6.08. November soybeans unchanged, 11.67. October meal up 40 cents a ton, $340.80. Barrel cheese unchanged, 157 and a quarter. Blocks up 3 1/4 at 156 and 3/4. Butter unchanged at 292. And it's early in the week, so Class 3 prices are higher. April up 3 cents at 1544. May and June were both up 47 cents, 1686 for May, 1724 for June. July up 37 at 1778, and August up 24 at 1822 as prices were up through November. And this is Tuesday. By the end of the week, we'll see where they go if that trend continues as it has so much higher early and then dropped out the bottom towards the end of the week. We got farm news to take a look at. A busy, busy Tuesday morning as we look at what's going on in agriculture. And Jill, what's the latest on that bird flu?
Well, three more herds in Michigan tested positive for the highly pathogenic avian influenza to make the state's total now 4 herds. According to Michigan officials and confirmed by the USDA National Veterinary Services Laboratory, Michigan Michigan positive tests have come from herds of 500 or more animals. Last week, HPAI was confirmed in dairy herds in North Carolina and South Dakota, bringing the total to 8 states with confirmed state cases. And with the latest confirmation, a total of 27 farms have had confirmed cases of the bird flu. And there are no cases here in Wisconsin in our dairy herds. And foreign farmland buyers have a tougher time purchasing land in Iowa. The state already has some of the toughest requirements for foreign ownership of land. And now they're even tougher with Governor Kim Reynolds signing a bill into law on April 9th that expands investigatory powers for agricultural land purchases and raises the fines for foreign entities that own more than the maximum of 320 acres. The new law gives the Attorney General subpoena power to investigate farmland purchases, and more information about the structure of the ownership will now be required under the new law. Also, the Secretary of State's office will have increased duties in tracking foreign ownership of land. Violations of the new law will cost up to 25% of the property's value. And if the foreign entity fails to report holdings once every 2 years as required, it could receive a maximum penalty of $10,000 per violation. Nearly 3 dozen states have worked to strengthen their laws concerning agricultural land ownership, finding out who owns the land out there.
Looking at that, though, maximum penalty of $10,000 per violation. With the money those people have, $10,000 is like a $5 bill to you and I.
Yeah, but still, at least it's $10,000. It's up from $2,000. Yeah. Well, so
no, that's right. And they, and who the foreigners are and where they come from. You know, Norwegians we won't worry about, but the Chinese and a few others we have to pay attention to. So, Iowa land, it's valuable, and boy, it's in demand. And the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers have a new executive director, Dr. Grant Holly. In mid-May, he will be joining the office in Wisconsin Rapids to start the transition with Tom Lochner, who has served the Cranberry Growers for the past 35 years, and Tom obviously is going to be retiring. It doesn't say that here, but I assume Tom is retiring, and that's why Grant Holly is coming in. Now, I looked. It doesn't look like he's got a lot of experience with cranberries, but he does being an executive. Growing his skills, according to this news release, growing his skills over the past 27 years, Grant Holly is an experienced executive director and international consultant with a successful track record working with companies in the agriculture sector. Grant Holly has extensive business expertise across multiple industries, having held senior position at Fasing Group and North Carolina State University. Holly specializes in organizational development, strategic planning, advocacy, and research. His energy, they say, is contagious, and we cannot wait for him to get to the office and everyone will meet him. So again, going a little different direction, Dr. Grant Holly, sounds like he's coming from North Carolina State. Doesn't say where he is right now, but he's been around in different areas of agriculture, so he will be taking over Tom Lochner's position as executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers. And as soon as we can, we'll catch up with Grant Holly and get a little more on his background and why he wanted to come to Wisconsin and be the executive director of the Cranberry Growers. Coming up, 4-H, Jill. What's going on with 4-H?
Well, they put a survey out there to find out what areas need to be taught more through their education programs and, you know, find out what the next direction is for 4-H.
All right. And again, every organization looking at moving forward, but how they do it. 4-H, that's next on The Farm Show.
This is the Wax 104.5 Farm Report.
4-H, it's an incredible, important part of Wisconsin youth development all across the state, regardless of your background. And now they want to get a little bit better. We're welcoming in Jill Jorgensen, who is one of our University Extension 4-H specialists that's helping to conduct a survey to give us a little guidance. Now, first of all, Jill, I'll be the first to admit I think 4-H is the cat's pajamas, even as we stand today, but I respect always wanting to get better. What motivated the questions, or what motivated the survey that's been launched, not just in Wisconsin, but across the Midwest, to evaluate 4-H programs?
Yeah, Pam. So we really wanted to understand how we could prepare our young people with those great life skills they gain in 4-H for the needs of our businesses across Wisconsin in food, agriculture, forestry, and related businesses. We really wanted to know that we were hitting the mark and helping our young people really be prepared to launch into that next phase of life after high school.
I guess it's the first time I ever thought about 4-H as a resume building skill, but I guess now that I just hear you say that, it makes perfect sense. Is that something that has been promoted in the past as part of 4-H? I mean, I think a lot of us are about, you know, exhibiting at the county fair, 4-H camp, maybe some of those 4-H leadership experiences. The recruiting aspect, is that something relatively new that we're trying to reveal?
You know, I think for a long time we've been building life skills in 4-H. And so life skills are those building blocks that all 4-H members, no matter the project they're taking, if you're showing horses, if you're doing woodworking, if you're doing leadership and camp counseling, like you mentioned, I think in the moment you're doing those things and you're building those great leadership skills, you're building great knowledge, and you're building those great life skills. And I think helping our young people think through how they're building those life skills and how that translates to that next phase of life is something that we're, you know, really across the nation in 4-H really trying to help young people understand, like, hey, you've been doing these amazing things with your project. This is how it relates to the next phase of your career and future endeavors.
Interesting. Now, we're soliciting responses primarily from, as you mentioned, those business folks, companies that are out there that would welcome those quality 4-H members, 4-H alumni into the fold. Tell me a little bit about the survey specific. And like I said, I know it's not just about Wisconsin.
Yeah, so the survey is about 10 minutes long. It's an online survey, so easily accessible for everyone. And it really looks at what our businesses looking for job recruitment practices, retention, and training needs in those industries, as I mentioned, food, agriculture, forestry, and those related businesses. We really are interested in helping figure out what is that great meeting point where we can help our young people to be prepared for meeting those needs and help the businesses gain that really great young workforce that, you know, 4-H members come with.
Do most businesses know about 4-H as a potential, I guess, pipe of employees? I'm just wondering, this sounds like it might be a two-way educational experience.
You know, Pam, I always hope when employers see 4-H on a young person's resume that they know that that young person is coming with some really great life skills, leadership skills, the ability to communicate well and work well with others. And I hope, and you know, if not, maybe we need to make sure that we send that message out loud and proud, because our 4-H members, wow, I know that when they go into workforces that they're coming prepared with some really great life skills and some really great skills to help them be prepared for those future jobs and careers.
If you're just joining us, this is Jill Jorgensen. She's one of our 4-H Extension Youth Specialists, and she's focused in on a survey that is designed to capture what employers would like to see from 4-H as far as foundational elements for those good quality employees. And like we said, Jill, we already know that a lot of that comes naturally through existing 4-H programming. Is this designed to create new items of programming, or what are we hoping might be the ultimate outcome from this survey?
Yeah, so that might be some new programs that we can contribute, like based off of that survey data. And it might be just taking those programs that we have that are really good long-term existing programs and providing some tweaks to them, like ways that we can improve to make sure that we're hitting those benchmarks and those needs, or even really helping our young people understand, like, hey, here are some of the things that you're currently doing, and here's how that relates to the needs that are currently in industry, and making sure that we create that really good and intentional connection for them.
I noticed that some of the questions are about technologies. For example, automation. Is that part of your business, something you see growing? And you're also asking businesses how they've already interacted with 4-H, which I think is different, or how they've already, what they've already done as far as outreach.
Yeah, you know, technology is something that is going to be changing and evolving and adapting. And I think our, you know, industries as young people are looking to move more towards that area or may have some specialties in that area. It's always a really great opportunity for those young people to maybe think about some of these industries in a way they haven't before. I think that agriculture, food, forestry is such a vast area, and there's so many different types of careers that are available that young people don't always realize that there's these vast components that they could be a part of, and that the things that they're learning and they love might fit really well into one of those sectors. So I think that really kind of hits on where they are and maybe where they want to go, and helping them find that path to maybe working towards that for the future.
Well, and that is one of the key items that I want to stress to everybody. Don't think that because this survey is about feedback for 4-H that it's all about agriculture. You've got a lot of different categories that businesses can choose from.
Absolutely. Everything from, you know, production agriculture, as we talked about, to food and beverage manufacturing, wood products, egg-related, you know, inputs. So machinery, chemicals, even veterinarians, wholesalers, our family farms, our large industries. We want to hear from them all. And I think that's going to have a really robust way for our young people in Wisconsin and across the Midwest to learn more about what are some of those great things that these businesses are really looking for in skills with their employees.
And again, 4-H, that survey is out, and I didn't have a chance to listen to that because while we were playing that, I was on television. Jill, I don't know, is this survey still out, or is it all completed and they're putting together the information?
It sounds like it's still out there, but they're putting together in the information. But they actually went to companies as well to see what they're looking for and, you know, what they'd like kids to learn about.
Yeah, and one of the things, well, you know, because you were in 4-H as a kid, you've been a leader now as an adult with your kids and beyond, how the projects have changed.
They absolutely have. The technology part is so different than it used to be when my kids got started. I mean, they showed a lot of animals, but the technical aspect, I think, is something that we need to catch up on as leaders and as even the judges.
Although there's nothing wrong with learning how to raise a pig or raise a rabbit or a chicken or do some of that stuff. But again, technology is part of agriculture, and on we go.
Absolutely.
All right. So again, 4-H and that survey out there. It'll be interesting when they do get it all tabulated and see what's going on. Well, let's get over to Premier Livestock in Withy. We're going to talk about livestock, but I know, Rocky, you're raising your kids to hunt. Are they in that youth turkey hunt?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, we got them all tags. We'll be looking for turkeys for them all. And yep.
Now, is that this weekend, or did that start last weekend? How does that work?
That started this last weekend, yep.
No, so they got more weekends to try and get their birds?
Well, they should, but no, they only got another, I don't know what it is, 6 days or whatever when they get their
understand.
Tag time.
I don't understand how that works. I mean, deer hunting is 9 days. I don't know why they got a broke. I'm sure the DNR's got a good reason. I'm not a turkey hunter, so I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just wondering why they do it the way they do.
They don't want you all in the woods at the same time, I understand, but when it's private ground, you think they could give you a two-week tag, but yeah, they give you, I think, what is it, 6 or 7 days? Well, half of that's during the week. Well, you can't hunt then. And
I know. I don't understand their logic there, because there are plenty of turkeys around. All you got to do is drive around and see them along the roadsides. That's, and dead along the road, too.
Easier to see, though, than they are to actually get right up to them.
Oh, boy, I know it. I know it. They can be pretty smart. Well, we started the trading week yesterday. How'd we do? Those calves holding in there?
Thank you, Bob. Good morning, everyone. This is how Monday's livestock auction shaped up. We sold right at 1,300 head of livestock. Fed cattle sold steady, high choice, and prime Holstein fed steers from 155 to 174. Select and low choice, 145 to 154. Your choice beef steers and heifers, 165 to 182. Market cows, steady, high yielding cows from 114 to 136. We had some premium feedlot cows up to $1.55. Other cows, lower yielding from from 90 to 113. High-yielding market bulls from $1.35 to $1.53. Organic market cows, light test on Monday. We also sell them on Tuesdays, but mostly 125 to 145. Newborn Holstein bull calves, a little softer, mostly from 400 to 600 per head. Your beef dairy cross calves from 600 to 950. Your Holstein heifer calves, 450 and down. Today, Tuesday, 10 o'clock a.m., we have our special feeder cattle auction, bred beef cow auction. We sell feeder cattle first at 10, and then followed by the bred beef cows and beef breeding bulls. Remember, if you're bringing bred beef cows, they do need to be in by 8:30 this morning to get preg checked. Also, a reminder, all these feeder cattle, any feed special feeder cattle, say you can bring your cattle in Monday, no charge for overnights. Then tomorrow, we got our hay and bedding auction on Wednesday. That gets underway at 9:30. Dairy cattle auction at 11. We do have a complete parlor freestall herd, 75 Holstein cows. We got many loads of top reputation parlor freestall cows. We got one load that's all registered 2 and 3 year olds, and they're averaging over 100 pounds of milk, plus a nice run of bred and springing heifers. Don't forget, next week on Tuesday, that'll be our special monthly dairy heifer auction. Call in those consignments. Lots more detailed information at PremierLivestockAndAuctions.com. Questions, give us a call at Premier at 715-229-2500. And that's how it's shaping up, Bob.
All right. So a little dust will be. Maybe we'll settle some of the dust here the next day or two.
Yeah. Yep. That's, as long as it don't soak us too much. But, yeah, there was a lot of guys scratching around out there.
Oh, so. Yeah. Including me in my own yard, scratching around, literally scratching around. Hey, you have a good one.
You too. Thanks.
There he goes. That's Rocky over there at Premier Livestock in Withy.
The first voice of agriculture in Wisconsin for over 35 years.
Morgan McCarthy is going to join us from the newsroom right now. Good morning, Morgan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's
now, you got your good. You got your daughter, Siggy, involved. She likes to do a lot of stuff. Does she show any interest in hunting turkeys?
Because
Alex is a big game slayer, isn't he?
Oh, he's more of a turkey himself.
Well,
a little bit.
She doesn't have to go far to find one, huh?
Yeah, she was talking about taking hunter safety, but right now she's mostly focused on sports. In fact, with the wind and rain, it sounds like it'll be a track meet kind of night to my man. Those kids run in some conditions. So
I know.
We'll see
tough.
How it goes.
Oh.
But I've seen more huddled and shivering kids at track meets over the years than I have in any other sport.
Oh, between track and field, and then in the fall when they have cross country, There can be some nasty, nasty events, that's for sure.
All I hope is that the wind is with the kids when they're running at 3,200.
Really. That's for sure. Well, what's going on?
Well, good morning. We're going to start with headlines that stay pretty close to our area. It's in the Sparta area where a police officer there now in Monroe County is looking at charges after investigators say he tried to get two teenage girls to send him naked pictures. Prosecutors filed child enticement, attempted sexual assault, and attempted possession of child pornography charges against 26-year-old Peter Schneider. He was an officer for the Ho-Chunk Police Department and a firefighter in Sparta, fired as an officer as soon as he was arrested and on leave from the fire department now, as prosecutors say they learned of the case when a 16 and 17-year-old girl came forward. In other headlines in the Rapids area now, we look at investigators in Wood County with an update saying that a wanted felon is facing even more charges. This after a search of the home. Austin Newsell is already facing charges as a felon who was found with a sawed-off shotgun and charges from a weekend shooting and hostage situation. It was yesterday when police in Rapids searched his home, and then that led to more charges, both for him and four other people. Newsell was out on bond before a weekend hostage situation and was waiting for that trial on child sexual assault and drug charges. Now he's currently in jail in Wood County on $100,000 bond. Well, it could be lights out if you don't set up a payment plan. Of course, our winter moratorium has ended. The state prohibits power disconnection annually from November 1st through April 15th, which we just passed on the calendar yesterday. If you're looking for financial assistance, you can set that up. And there's a link online for any help you might need at 715newsroom.com. Well, if we put eyes to the sky, stargazers have a special treat in the Northern Hemisphere and some time to see the Lyran meteor shower. It's an old one. Humans have been staring up at that for quite some time.
The Lyrids meteor shower, which has been viewed by humans annually for nearly 2,700 years, starts on April the 15th and lasts until April 29th. In ideal conditions, viewers can spot around 10 to 15 meteors per hour during the shower's peak, which is on April the 22nd. That's according to Earth Sky. I'm Mark Neufeld.
2,700 years. You probably saw a couple of the first ones of those, huh, Bob? You better head back to the barn with Bob Bolsold, Jill Welke, and your Midwest Farm Report on Wax 104.5.
My telescope is about worn out.
Get a little rusty, is it?
Yeah, in more places than just around the lens.
I keep an oil can in the newsroom. Let me know if you need it later. I'll get those joints for you.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, I think we need more than 10W30, that's for sure. All right, we'll talk to you later.
It's a date, my friend.
All right. Right, there she goes. That's Morgan in the newsroom. Professor Jerry Clark is with us. You ever get tired of hearing that?
No, it's got a good ring to
it. Yeah,
it
does. I think that's a neat title. I'd like to be a professor or something. But Jerry Clark, who is Chippewa Dunham, Clare County Crops and Soils Agent, and so much more in this world of extension we have nowadays. And one of the folks that you work with, we work with, that's really, really good to have in Wisconsin, Sean Connolly, our soybean and small grain specialist. He's looking for some help.
Yeah. Sean has launched, along with his research lab, has launched a cover crop soil health type of survey. So what he's looking for are farmers to send in soil samples in, obviously, a form of their management type thing. And so whether they use cover crops or not, it's to send in soil samples. They will measure some basic soil health measurements. So they will test the soils for total organic carbon, mineralizable carbon, and then what we call the ACE-N, which is that extractable nitrogen out of the protein. So it's just kind of a fancier test for that. But so the farmers would just submit this kit. If you're interested, farmers would submit a kit ask for the kit. They would send it to them. All of the packaging is prepaid, so there's nothing out of the farmer's pocket other than maybe a little time to pull the soil samples and send them in. And then you'll get the report back, and then they will aggregate all of this statewide. So we're
now,
really...
How much soil are you looking for?
Just like a regular soil sample.
Oh, okay.
Like you would do a regular soil test.
All right.
So just 6 inches deep, several cores across that treatment of, or your management, if you've got four different fields. And then just a form to fill out that has that field history up to about 5 years back. So as long as a field's been under a farmer's management, they would be able to use that that data for that.
So what does it take to get this kit? Did you have it, or you got to write him
we can help.
Email him or what?
Yeah, we could help with that. Otherwise, there is a contact with Mark's or with Sean's lab. That's Mark Kendall. You just email him, or we can get you the phone number. You call Mark, and he'll send you whatever kits you need. I think you could send up to four samples in. And so by June 1st, so you get the kit, you have up to June 1st to pull them and get them mailed back in.
So that should be plenty of time. It should be interesting research to find out what he finds out from around the state.
Yeah, and then the last thing would be this fall, obviously, a yield check.
Yeah.
Whatever that works out of that field. It's up to the farmer how they want to measure that. But what Sean's trying to do is see where that soil health measurement, does that correlate to any type of connection to your yield? And so he'll look at that across the board as well. So it'll be interesting. Probably at the winter meetings in 2024, 2025, mm-hmm. we'd get some results.
Yeah, I don't know if he'd have it by the corn soy conference next February.
Oh, I would think so.
You think
I would think they would have it by then.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yep.
Be interesting to follow, that's for sure. What else is going on? I see 10% of the oats in the state are in around our area. A few scratching around.
Yeah, you're definitely seeing that manure especially going out.
Yep.
Lots of that finally where we can get into some of the maybe heavier soil fields, and then lots of field preparation going on. Some seeding going on. I haven't seen any corn planters or soybeans going in. I mean, early planting on soybeans becoming a trend now to try mm-hmm. to get them in earlier. There's some results from Sean that show that early planted soybeans do yield a little better, but we still got to watch that frost. If we get them too far ahead and we get some cold freezes, we could be replanting. But
I would imagine guys over by Pepin, sweet corn.
Yeah, I think there could be some of that going in, especially you get some of those. I've seen talked to a couple of some of the fresh market folks. They're getting peas, radishes, all that kind of early crop stuff in too. So the fields are good. We got adequate moisture.
Yeah, we do.
We implemented a project yesterday with a backhoe digging a few pits, and there was moisture in all of them. So
all right. We're going to get more, too.
Yeah. I think it's good.
All right. And once again, for the soybean growers to get a hold of that study that Sean Connolly is doing, how do they do it?
Again, you can contact your regional county agent. Some of them may be reaching out because we want to get some from every county.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Sean's email or Mark Kendall is the guy that's kind of coordinating it. And Mark has a email and phone number, 608-574-5972. You just call Mark directly and take care of it there.
Otherwise, at coolbean...
Coolbean.info, I think, is Sean's website, so that'll work too. Otherwise, call your regional extension agent, and we definitely have the information.
All right, sounds good. That should be a good project. Look forward to finding that out. Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Bob.
There he goes, Professor Jerry Clark, Chippewa Dunn, Eau Claire County Crops and Soils Agent.
We need to get to those markets. Let's head to Sparta Equity and hear from Hot Eamon.
Fed cattle selling steady today with the high yielding choice beef steers and heifers, 184 to 190 choice, and select beef steers and heifers, 168 to 183. Beef and dairy cross steers, 165 to 180. High yielding choice Holstein steers, 166 to 172. Choice and select Holstein steers, 150 to 165. With unfinished steers, heifers and heavy steers, 110 to 149. Cow market steady, quality beef slaughter cows up to 130, high yielding slaughter dairy cows 110 to 125, cutters and utilities 84 to 109, with the low yielding in Canada cows 83 cents and down. Organic market today with results from the April 15 sale with a steady market with the high yielding slaughter organic cows 150 to 180, topping at 184. Thin and small organic cows 119 to 149, with organic steers and heifers 160 to 185. Bull market steady. Most bulls bringing 125 to 150 with a thin, full, and bulls over 2,200 pounds discounted at 124 and down. Calves sold by the pound today with a steady to slightly lower market with a quality Holstein bull calves bringing 425 to 575. Quality Holstein heifer calves $2 to 450. Quality beef bulls $7 to 950. Quality beef heifers $6 and $9 with the light and poor quality calves. 10 cents to $2 a pound. Just a reminder, our next sale will be Wednesday, April 17th, starting at 10 a.m. with fed cattle, followed by bulls, cows, and calves. This is Hut Eamon at Equity Livestock in Sparta with this marketing update, and we thank you for your business.
Let's get to more markets over at the Equity Stratford Sale Barn. Jerry Fitzgerald is with us. Good morning, Jerry. How you doing? Looking for some rain today?
Well, good morning to you, Bob. Yes, we are, and hopefully, I know that I looked at the radar before. There's stuff out there, just got to get to us. So,
yeah.
And, talking about getting to something, why don't we just get to the market report here? We're already five to the hour here.
You bet. Go for it.
Bob, thank you, and good morning, everyone. A summary from yesterday, Monday, here at Equity Stratford. We'll start out with the cow market. Conventional cows, selling on a mostly steady trend yesterday. High-yielding fleshy cows yesterday were selling from $1.15 to $1.26. We had some fancy beef cows up to $1.35. Very high-yielding beef cows. Most of the cows yesterday sold between 92 and 114. Thinner cows, 92 and below. On the bull trade, better quality bulls are selling from 136 to 152. Lighter bulls, 130 and back. Fed cattle, most of those will be sold tomorrow, so we have an update on those later on in the week. Calf market continues to be mostly steady on the calves. Good quality Holstein bull calves are weighing 9,230 pounds. They are selling from $300 to $600, with a top yesterday at $640. Heifer calves, mostly from $175 to $360. Beef calves, very strong, continue to be very strong, $600 to $900. A lot of calves over $900, up to a top of $980. Anyway, we got to move forward here. Busy week continues here. This morning we get on the way at 10 o'clock here with the hay and bedding auction, folks. Again, we have a large selection of hay. We got a lot of large squares. We got the large squares of first crop, large squares of second crop. We've got small squares of oat straw, also small squares of first crop clover. So whatever you're looking for, pretty much have it today. That'll be at 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock today will be the dairy auction. And as part of that dairy auction today, we do have a consignment, some good quality Holstein Spring and Heifers coming from a very good consigner here. They are AI bred. Most of them are bred to Angus, so you know what those calves are worth. So that'll be at 11 o'clock. After the dairy auction, we will sell market cattle, including the organic cattle. And don't forget, tomorrow, feeder cattle auction tomorrow is at 12:30. We do have a nice consignment already of some top-quality Hereford cattle for that sale tomorrow. They're going to weigh from about 4 to 8, so more information on the website on those. And also, don't forget, 1 week from today here in Stratford, big dairy sale, we do have a complete herd dispersal, 140 head of dairy cattle, one owner herd, of course, so that'll be a week from today. Information on our website, so we'll more to say about that. You guys can check that out for yourselves here at Equity Co-op. Just click on the Stratford page, and a lot of information. Busy week continuing, Bob, and hopefully we'll get some rain. And with that, we'll turn it back to you, because I know you guys are busy.
Yeah, we're busy, that's for sure. Hey, this continues. You and I can put our paychecks together and buy one calf.
Well, you must be making a lot more than me, then.
Talk to you in the morning.
Okay.
There he goes, Jerry Fitzgerald over at Stratford Equity. Markets brought to you by Synergy Co-op. Board of Trade, very little movement. December corn overnight, a fraction lower at 468. The oats at 346. Wheat up a penny at 608. November beans unchanged, 1167. And October meal, 40 cents a ton at $340.80. On the scoreboard for country elevators today, Jill.
Corn and oils at 381 with soybeans at 1070. Arcadia, 386 and $11. Chippewa Falls and Connersville, corn's at 375 with soybeans at 1088.
On the DTN screen, 390, the corn price at Golden Plump. At Baldwin, 383 on the corn, 1086 on the beans. Durant has corn at 378, beans 1076. 381, the corn price in Mondovi, 1081 the soybeans. Elmwood has corn price at 385 today, 1086 on their beans. Fall Creek down to 375 with the beans at 1076. Osseo, 393 on the corn, 1086 on the beans. 383 is the corn price at Elk Mound, their beans at 1084. Down at Sparta, 386 and 1096. Over at Ellsworth along the river, 370 for corn, 1076 for the beans. Ethanol plants, $4 corn today at Boyceville, 395 at Stanley. New Richmond, 393. Barrel cheese, 157 and a quarter. Blocks, 156 and three quarters. Butter unchanged yesterday, 292. April class 3 up 3 at 1544. May up 47, 1686. June up 47, 1724.
You've been listening to the Midwest Farm Report, available at waxradio.com in its entirety every day. Brought to you in part by Bluff Country Feed and Seed and Mondovi. On-demand content at waxradio.com.